Support for WPR comes from Wills on behalf of Wisconsin Public Libraries, offering access to ebooks, audiobooks, digital magazines, and more. Available with a Wisconsin Library Card at wisconsinsdigitallibrary.org.
Support for WPR comes from Stoughton Health, an independent community healthcare organization, treating acute mental health disorders in adults age 55 and over, accepting many insurance plans. StoughtonHealth.com.
From the Book of Revelations to the Hunger Games, we humans have spent a lot of time thinking about the apocalypse and the dystopia that might come after. Our next guest has made his mark on the subject. He's Max Brooks, author of The Zombie Survival Guide and World War Z, which spun off a movie of the same name. His current comic book series is Extinction Parade. Max Brooks is speaking in Madison tonight, and he joins us now in the studio. Max, welcome to the show.
Good to be here.
So apocalypses are really bad, if I can understate a little. Why do we like to read about them and watch TV shows and movies about them?
Well, I think we're living in very uncertain times. I think the last time you had this deluge of apocalyptic media was the 1970s. You had Soylent Green and Ultimate Warrior and a little movie called Dawn of the Dead. Mm-hmm. And I think we instinctively want to explore the apocalypse when we see what we think is the system breaking down. And I think the 1970s was exactly like the time we're living in now. People had a sense that things weren't working. And I think it's human nature to look ahead and think, well, what's the end game? But it's also human nature to turn away if it's a little too real. So you put a little science fiction on there, you make the catalyst fake, say zombies, and then you can watch the apocalypse.
That's interesting. Is that part of the particular appeal of zombies, which are big in your works and obviously elsewhere?
Yeah, because you know zombies are not they're not a predatory metaphor, say the way a werewolf or a giant shark is, because you can just get away from those. If there's a giant shark in the water, don't go in the water. Zombies are really slate wipers. They really are apocalyptic. The stories are global, and I think they're a great metaphor for major global catastrophes, which we have been battered with, I think, the last decade.
And it seems like zombies can serve as a metaphor for whatever you need in a lot of ways. It could be the communists out there or the consumer mindset here or eco-disaster or disease. Yes. It's a little bit of all of it.
What I find very interesting is I think they're a Rorschach test for whatever scares us. You know, I've done a lot of zombie panels and a lot of zombie interviews with a lot of zombie authors, but all these authors tend to be coming from fields of specialization. And they always have to put their specialist stamp on it. If someone studies viruses, they go, oh, no, no, no. It's a metaphor for plague. That's it. That's all. And then you've got economists who say, oh, no, 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 no. This is for the financial meltdown. That's it. That's all. If you're watching Fox News, it says, no, no, no. It's liberals and people with college degrees.
So they're my zombies. Whatever my turf happens to be, I'm going to take the zombies in and claim them as my own.
That's pretty much what I have seen in the last 10 years and watching the zombie culture flourish is people use it as an outgrowth for whatever really scares them.
Well, one thing you've been working on, I think, and the government has taken on is using fictional zombies to help prepare us for real disasters. How does that work?
Oh, definitely. And that's what I'm talking about tonight. 10 years ago, when I sat down to write Zombie Survival Guide, actually, wait, let me correct myself. It came out 10 years ago. I'm really getting old. I'm starting to do that old person thing where you sort of subtract 10 years to everything you say. I actually started writing it in the late 90s in response to Y2K. And when I was writing it, I realized everything in this book is no different than my earthquake disaster preparedness training. I mean, I live in L.A., and we've been preparing for earthquakes. So everything in my kit is my earthquake kit, and everything in my book is just preparing for a natural disaster.
Is it a sexier way to get us to think about natural disasters? We maybe don't take the real disasters as seriously. They're kind of boring.
I would do the reverse. I would say they're not sexy as far as they are safe. You know, if you go to a party and you say, hey, how would you guys survive a zombie apocalypse? It would be a lively discussion about bottled water and about preserving food and medical care and who would you need with certain specialist skills. And it would be an interesting night, yet an informative night. But you walk into a room and say, hey, I hear that AIDS just went airborne. How would we survive that? Bang, you would clear the room.
It would be the kind of a Debbie Downer approach to party conversation.
Well, you know, people instinctively turn away from things that are too scary, and that's why the CDC is so brilliant. I think it's the first time in my lifetime the federal government has been actually cool, because what they've realized is this is a great way to get young people thinking about what to do in a quarantine. But you don't say an actual quarantine. You say zombies. But guess what? If these people, these young people going on the website of the CDC and preparing a zombie kit, they're ready for a quarantine.
What other tips can we learn from the idea of a zombie attack or zombie quarantine that could apply for us in the real world for a real disaster preparation?
Well, if you look at any sort of natural disasters or man-made disasters, most people don't actually die of primary effect. What I call is if there's an earthquake, most people are not going to die in the actual earthquake. They're going to die of secondary and tertiary problems, disease, dehydration, starvation, accidents, which in my mind is exactly what would happen if there was a real zombie plague. Mm-hmm. For every person bitten by a zombie, there's a lot of people going to die of tetanus.
Right. So the water sanitation plant isn't open anymore in the zombie attack, and the grocery stores and the health clinics.
Exactly. What I've always said about zombies is they serve two purposes, if done right. They can, if done right, teach us what to do when the lights go out. But also, if done right, they can teach us why the lights stay on in the first place. And I think that's becoming more and more important for people. I think we need to really examine where civilization comes from. Where does the electricity come from? Who pipes the water into my house? Who pipes the poop out of my house? Who picks up my garbage so it doesn't pile up and infect me? There's a lot of systems that keep us clean and healthy and civilized, which would break down in a disaster.
So by thinking about the absence in the case of the zombie attack, we learn to appreciate what we've got.
And I think that's very important now. I think, you know, we have a growing political forum in our country that calls for less government, which I'm sorry, to me sounds like less civilization. And as someone who has traveled around the world where I see a lot less civilization than we got, I'm very happy to have the poop piped out of my house, let me tell you.
Well, moving back to your fiction, you've added another layer of monster and maybe of metaphor in Extinction Parade. There's not just zombies now, as I understand it. There are vampires too. How do they fit into the zombie world?
They, for me, fit perfectly into the zombie world because I've written so much about physical preparedness for a crisis. I've written about how would individuals prepare and how would governments prepare in World War Z. But this is emotional preparedness. This is the emotional, psychological survival kit that we carry in our hearts and our minds. And I've come to learn that that kit is built on struggle. That the more you struggle, the more you fail, the more you learn from your mistakes, the better equipped you are for life, for adversity that's going to come your way. And if you've never had to deal with that, you are not ready for anything. And that is my vampires. They are at the top of the food chain, apex predators. They've never had to struggle. They've never felt fear. They've never had to run for their lives. And therefore, they've never had to compensate. And so suddenly here comes an existential threat. Their food is being eaten out from under them. What do they do as a species that has never had to struggle?
Hmm. Resilience, it sounds like, is what I've heard it called by psychologists, having
yes.
that state of resilience, whether we're talking about humans or vampires.
And that, as I get older, becomes more important to me now that I'm a parent and now that I see that there's a generation of young people coming up behind me where a good cross-section of them have never failed. They've been taught that they're awesome. And there's nothing in their way. Their parents go to job interviews with them. Their parents call up their professors and yell at them because their feelings were hurt. And it scares me because I think that doesn't prepare you for bad things that are going to knock on your door. And let's be honest, bad stuff happens no matter how coddled you are. And that to me is my vampires. They are the Kardashians, the Hiltons. They are this new generation that loves just wealth and success and joy and has never had to get their hands dirty.
Do you think that even if we don't face real-world examples of needing resilience, maybe rehearsing them through fiction, through vampires facing an ecological disaster, can teach us a little about it?
Well, I think that's what good science fiction should be. And I'm not saying that's me. I'm saying these are the people that inspired me. You know, I learned so much about life reading Robert Heinlein. And I learned about our government reading Tom Clancy. I think, you know, good science fiction, be it Star Trek or Twilight Zone, anything Richard Matheson throws up, really teaches us how to deal with life, or at least warns us that there's bad things waiting for us.
So your next project is a very different one. No zombies, no vampires. You're going back. It's the 100th anniversary coming up of World War I. Where does Harlem Hellfighters take us?
That is a story I've been trying to get out for about 15 years, and it's a true story. It's based on my version is based on the true story of a group of African-American soldiers set up to fail by their own government, were then kicked over to the French army, who would take anybody at this point. They were so desperate. And these Americans, in spite of being set up to fail, became the most decorated, one of the most decorated units in the U.S. Army.
So I don't know if there's a line there from zombies and vampires to this, but the resilience theme, the overcoming adversity theme, really does seem to carry through there.
Oh, no. You want to talk about resilience. You want to talk about overcoming obstacles. I mean, these guys came out of that war as genuine heroes.
All right. We just have less than a minute left. Can you leave us with one or two tips on the off chance, fingers crossed, that there is an outbreak of zombieism?
Don't panic. Panic will kill you faster than any zombie. Just take a breath. Look around. You've been given this amazing brain by God or nature, whoever you want to give the credit to. Use your brain.
And that, I bet, could apply to any old disaster, too, even the real ones.
Even the real ones.
Max, thank you so much for joining us. Appreciate it. That was Max Brooks, author of World War Z and the Zombie Survival Guide. His new comic series is Extinction Parade. He's speaking tonight at, I think it's 7:30, at UW-Madison's Union South.